Chapter 17. Lando let his sweaty palm brush against his pant leg, then transferred the data pad to the somewhat drier hand and displayed the screen to the subaltern of the Yuuzhan Vong boarding party. The picture showed 17 young Jedi knights, crowded around the Lady Luck's dining table. Though their bowls were filled with green Thakatillo, Lando had ordered his chef to serve only the finest fare on this journey. None of the Jedi were eating. Most were not even holding their spoons. "They seem agitated," the subaltern said. A brutish warrior with a fringe of spindly black hair, he stared at the data pad from arm's length, as though keeping his distance would prevent the instrument from defiling him. "You are sure they do not know we are here?" "They're Jedi," Lando answered, feigning irritation at a foolish question. "They can certainly sense my crew's apprehension. But I won't claim to know what's in their minds. All I can say is the viewports have been closed the entire trip." After a moment, the subaltern nodded to himself and turned to an unarmed, but heavily armored, superior waiting outside the Lady Luck's airlock. "Idag lightsabers, Dumanyakt, Yenig Doa Jedi." The superior stepped out of the red-ribbed transfer tunnel. A little smaller than his subordinates, this one had sculpted his face into a gridwork of raised scars. Like the subaltern of the boarding party, he wore two small villips on his shoulders instead of the usual one. He stopped across from Lando and looked expectant. "This is Fitzgibbon Lane, holder of the Stardream," the subaltern said, supplying the false names Lando was traveling under. "He is the one who sent the message." Lando stared at the subaltern and waited for him to introduce his leader. When the warrior grew uncomfortable and looked down, Lando shifted his gaze to the superior and continued to wait. As nervous as he was about this particular swindle, he knew better than to open negotiations on anything less than equal footing. After a moment, the superior said, "I am Dumanyakt, commander of the Exquisite Death. You have some Jedi for me?" "For your War Master," Lando corrected. Taking the commander's presence as a sign of eagerness, he turned the data pad toward the Yuuzhan Vong and dangled the bait. "I have 17, in fact." The subaltern scowled and reached out to knock the profane instrument aside, but the commander raised a hand. "No, this I must see for myself." Dumanyakt peered into the vidscreen, where Anakin and a few others were half-heartedly spooning Thakatillo into their mouths. The strike team had not been warned about the boarding, in part because Lando wanted their reactions to appear genuine, in part because the Yuuzhan Vong had come so quickly. The Lady Luck had been drifting along beside an outbound comet, waiting for the nav computer to plot the final leg of their journey, when the boarding shuttle came swinging out of the tail. It had headed straight for the docking portal, a worm-like transfer tunnel already extending, to make contact. There was barely time to alert Tendra before the bridge alarm announced contact at the airlock. Lando authorized equalization and rushed back to find the subaltern already opening the exterior hatch. A check on his datapad revealed a corvette-sized coral ship swinging over the comet to cover the shuttle's approach, and Lando realized the vessel was lying in wait when he entered the system. He had almost felt foolish until he realized what the clever maneuver told him about the eagerness of the Yuuzhan Vong commander. "Satisfied?" Lando asked. "I'd ask them to levitate, but that might give us away." "That won't be necessary. We have already confirmed their nature." "Really?" Lando did not like the sound of that, but knew better than to ask for details. "If you want them, let the Talfalian hostages go." "If I want them, I will take them," Dumanyakt said. Lando raised his datapad and depressed a function key. "We both know what 17 Jedi can do with warning. Don't make me release this button. The commander stepped closer. You think that would matter to me? Of course not. Lando sneered with more confidence than he felt. Even a space boulder like the Exquisite Death would destroy this barge in about 3 seconds. And what a pity that would be. No sacrifices for you, Nyamka, and no more Jedi deliveries for your War Master. More Jedi deliveries? The blue beneath Dumanyacht's eyes grew brighter. You can bring more? Only if Talfalia is spared. I'm not doing this because I like you, Lando said. If you knew to intercept me here, then you know who I am. You know I can deliver. Dumanyacht lowered his chin in a vague nod. I heard your message. Yes. In the message, sent to what the Wraiths had identified as a Yuuzhan Vong listening post, Lando had claimed to be a Talfalian native, active in the Great River Jedi Rescue Organization. He had given just enough details of past operations to sound like a low-level pilot, then rambled on for a few minutes about how the Jedi were betraying him by allowing Talfalio's destruction. He had finished by naming a time and place and promising that anyone meeting him would be well rewarded. Duman's eyes remained fixed on the data pad, where the Jedi were beginning to discuss something in low tones. You must know I cannot make promises on the War Master's behalf. Then go ask for authority and meet me at the rendezvous, Lando said. The next step had to be the Yuuzhan Vong's. The Mark had to think he was the one pushing things. I'm not turning them over until I have his promise. The Yuuzhan Vong considered this a moment, then said, You won't make it that far. He tapped the vid display with a blackened fingernail. Your Jedi are nervous. Let me take them now, and we will see what happens. The War Master is certain to be interested. I can promise you that. I don't know, Lando said, setting the hook. I don't see how you can handle so many Jedi aboard that little rock. How we handle the slaves will not be your concern, Dumanyacht said. It will be when they escape and hunt me down, Lando said. They will not escape. You may be assured of that. Sure I can, Lando scoffed. Now that he had his mark pushing him, he could afford to take a few risks, and he wanted to know why Dumanyacht had been so quick to confirm he was carrying Jedi. Maybe I should just go to the rendezvous point. That is not one of your choices. Dumanyacht's voice remained mild. You may turn them over to me and know that they will reach the War Master, who may or may not be sufficiently impressed by your token of faith to spare Talfalio's refugees. Or you may release that button and be assured that when we die, a million of your people will die with us. Lando looked down and stroked his lip, not feigning his thoughtfulness at all. Dumanyacht's confidence in his ability to control the Jedi concerned him, but he had pushed his quest for information as far as he dared. He could release the function key on his data pad and sound the abort alarm. He would almost certainly die, but they had planned for just such an emergency. The transfer deck's inner hatch would seal automatically. Then the detonite charges concealed in the exterior hatch of the airlock would explode into the boarding shuttle. Dumanyacht and the boarding party would be sucked out into space, and the Lady Luck would shoot around the comet and be in hyperspace before the Exquisite Death realized what was happening. But the mission would be lost, more Jedi doomed. And why? Because Lando had an uneasy feeling about something Dumanyacht said? He shook his head in resignation. If you put it like that, Lando said. It was not his place to abort the mission, not with so much writing on it, not even with the children of his best friend at risk. But I'm no fool. I know how this works. Good, Dumanyacht said. Then you also know that the lives of your fellows will rest on your shoulders. I'll give you a villip so you can contact me when the next delivery is ready." Lando's only response was a sigh of disgust. No need for rude noises. Dubignac grabbed the back of Lando's neck in what may have been a gesture of domination or friendship, or both. "This will work out well for both of us." The Yuuzhan Vong waved his subaltern and the boarding party forward, but Lando quickly blocked their way. "No, I've got this all planned out," he said. "My ship, my way, or you might as well call the volcano cannons down." The subaltern glowered, but looked to his commander for orders. "As he wishes," Dumignac smirked. "His ship, his way." Jason had sensed only the single stirring in the force, but everyone else had felt it too, and now it was gone. He lifted another spoonful of green Thakatillo to his mouth, but hardly tasted the zest of the dissolving curds. Even without Alima's abrupt paleness and fluttering laku, he would have recognized the burst of hungry agitation. Silgal theorized that the initial disturbance came from the Voxen reaching out to find its prey, but Jason wondered if it might be something simpler. To him, it felt more like raw animal excitement. It was a feeling surprisingly close to that held by a number of Jason's fellow Jedi. The members of the strike team had opened their emotions to each other the instant they sensed the Voxen, and he could feel the eagerness of Ganner, Zek, the Barabels, Errol Besa, even Raynar, to destroy the creature. Others, Tahiri, Lobaka, Tekli, Yulaha, were surprised at how fast things were happening. Alima Rar was terrified, more of herself than the creature. Tenel Ka was grimly determined, Anakin absorbed in concerns about everyone else, Jovan Drark eager to begin the game. To Rodians, everything was a game. Continuing on page 164. Only Jaina, whose feelings Jason could always sense through their bond as twins, seemed calm. Whatever came, warning or no warning, Voxen or not, they would handle it. Or not. They had cast their fate to the Force, and now they had no choice but to trust where it carried them. It was a strange sort of composure born of battle and death and suffering, the grim serenity of the soldier, who was both maker and victim of the all-devouring cataclysm. Jason put another spoonful of Thakatillo in his mouth. Beyond the dining area, he could feel the crew's fear, Lando's apprehension about something unknown to him, Tendra's guilt as she approached the cabin door. He pressed his tongue to the roof of his mouth and crushed the curds, then savored the tangy explosion of their melting. The galley door hissed open. Yarsrud, the ship's Hodin chef, stepped into the dining cabin with his human assistant, both holding blasters behind their backs. It was the signal to follow the primary plan. Jason extended himself to the other Jedi, going beyond the simple emotional connection the Barabels had taught them to a much deeper level, melding with the others until it seemed to him that he was them and they were all him. As the meld coordinator, he was to a certain extent trusting the others with his body. They had discovered that at times he might become so consumed by the sensations and feelings of others that he forgot to keep track of himself. Lando's tall wife entered the dining room from the main cabin, a nasty G9 power blaster cradled in her arms. Zek and Jovan instantly pushed away from the table and reached for their lightsabers. Tendra loosed a flurry of blue stun bolts, blasting both Jedi and red-haired Errol into the wall, all as planned. Lobaka and Kossoff tried to rise and were dropped by stun shots from Yarsrud and his assistant, also as planned. Feeling the impact of each bolt through the team's battle meld, Jason groaned and would have tumbled from his chair had Tenel Ka not steadied him. That was not part of the plan. Tendra flipped her power blaster to full automatic, lethal. anyone else moves, or even looks my way, you all die." She glanced at Ganner, supporting the role he was to play as the decoy leader. "That clear?" "As transparisteel." Ganner kept his eyes fixed on the center of the table. "Do as she says."
"Good."
Tendra motioned two crew members behind her into the room.
"Now sit very still, and no one gets hurt."
The two crew members started around the table, unclipping the strike team's lightsabers and tossing them down the food disposal chute, along with Lobaka's protesting translation droid, MTD. Jason experienced a moment of panic from Anakin and realized they had just run into their first problem. The disposal chutes still led to the flush lock instead of their weapons pod. They had intended to make the changeover after the evening meal. Jason reached out to Jaina and moved some of her serenity toward Anakin. Nothing to be done about it. Follow the Force. "Tendra, what's all this about?" Ganner asked. This wasn't in the script, but Ganner knew what was needed. Jason could feel it. Ganner always knew. "Haven't we been good guests?"
"The best," Tendra replied. "Fitzgibbon just doesn't like cowards."
Jason did not even feel Yarsroot's assistant remove his lightsaber. He only saw it go down the chute with the others.
"Cowards?"
Ganner asked.
"What are you?"
"Talfalio,"
Tendra said simply. A native of nearby Sikoria, she did not need to work to make herself sound angry.
"Now shut that flyhanger of yours and stand up. There's someone who wants to see you. All of you."
Back to the script. Jason felt himself stand and turn toward the door, Tennel Ka close behind. She would be his watcher, her one arm strong enough to carry them both. Tendra stepped aside and motioned the strike team through the door. Down the corridor, past the guest cabins and up three stairs under the transfer deck. Things would be crowded. Airlock, escape pods, who knows how many Yuuzhan Vong. Would the Voxen be there? Probably not. Nobody could feel it yet. Olima began to tremble, frightened not of the Yuuzhan Vong. She had killed dozens with her own hands, eluded hundreds more. But of herself. She had not expected to encounter a Voxen on the transit ship. Could she face one again, knowing what the first had done to her sister? Jason fed her the feelings of Raynar, who was comforting himself with the knowledge that the Twi'lek had done this stuff many times before. She had denied the Yuuzhan Vong new Plimpto. She would get them through this. Alima's Leku stopped shaking, and Jason followed the unconscious Jedi, who were being levitated by five of their fellows, past Lando's suite toward the guest cabins. A door slid open behind Tennel Ka, and something blunt caught her between the shoulder blades. Jason dropped to his knees and started to black out, then realized it was Tennel Ka's body he was feeling, and reached out to the others, calling upon their strength to keep them both conscious. When his vision cleared, Yuuzhan Vong filled the corridor. At the head of the line, Ganner lunged for Lando. "You double-crossing!" The blunt edge of an amphistaff caught the big Jedi across the back of the head, dropping him into a dark pit before Jason could call on the others to keep him conscious. Not in the script, but probably for the best. Point 30. The crew departs. Tendra and Yarsroot retreated into the ship, leaving the strike team in the hands of the Yuuzhan Vong. There were only six guards on the transfer deck with Lando. The rest were down in the access corridor behind Anakin, flanking the long line of Jedi. Tisar Sabatine, who was second in line, hesitated at the transfer deck and stared down at Ganner's unconscious form. A Yuuzhan Vong warrior, a large one with a spindly fringe of black hair, grabbed the Barabel and shoved him into the boarding suite.
"Forward, all of you!"
Anakin suppressed a smirk and stepped over Ganner's unconscious form. Tisar had played his role perfectly, forcing the Yuuzhan Vong to order the strike team to do exactly what the strike team wanted to. Anakin followed the Barabel to the far end of the deck and took his place across from the weapons locker. Tahiri and the other Jedi crowded after him, packing themselves just tightly enough to make room for the whole team, and not much else. So far, events were proceeding more or less as planned. True, their lightsabers had been dropped into the flushlock, but Tendra and Yarsrut had taken extra precautions during the turnover to give the war droids time to retrieve the weapons. Anakin could feel the strike team's confidence growing with every success. The empathic sharing strengthened everyone's resolve and bound them to a common purpose, just as the Barabels had said it would. And Jason was keeping him in touch with the group. Anakin sensed Alima Rar's resolve harden and shared Tenel Ka's surprise when she was struck from behind. And now he perceived Loey's mind stirring. No sooner had Anakin begun to worry about how a groggy Wookiee would impact their plans than he sensed Jason reaching out to calm their waking friend. This was going to work great. Once the crew was safely out of sight, Lando turned to a scar-faced Yuuzhan Vong and gestured at a fiber-plast crate in front of the Lady Luck's escape pod. "Perhaps the commander of the Exquisite Death would allow me to present him with a small gift." It was a subtle variation on Point 31, but a useful one. No one had expected the commander of the transit ship to supervise the transfer personally. This officer was an eager one. When the enemy commander did not object, Lando removed several pairs of stun cuffs from the crate. Anakin expelled a long, calming breath, using a Jedi relaxation technique to let a spike of anxiety flow out with it. Lando held the cuffs in front of the commander. "A little something to keep the prisoners in line, Duman Yacht." Duman Yacht regarded the cuffs with a sneer. "What are those profanities?" "Wrist restraints." Lando opened a metal sleeve and displayed it proudly. "You see, I've thought of everything." Duman knocked the stun cuffs aside. "We have our own bindings." He glared at Ganner's unconscious form, which one of the strike team had levitated and placed in the center of the transfer deck with the other unconscious Jedi Knights. "Bindings that teach as well as restrain." Point 32. The enemy acknowledges the offer. Anakin turned his palm toward the weapons locker and reached out with the Force, buckling the door panel inward. Lando and the Yuuzhan Vong spun toward the screel of crumpling durasteel. Yulaha closed the pressure hatch at her end of the transfer deck, sealing the rest of the enemy boarding party out in the access corridor. Anakin twisted the door free and slammed it into Duman Yacht's head. One Yuuzhan Vong warrior stepped over to defend his stunned commander, and the others, finding the space too cramped for amphistaffs, reached for their kufis. The strike team counterattacked in a flurry of kicks and blows, taking full advantage of the battle meld to keep the enemy too busy dodging and blocking to actually draw a weapon. With the Force, Anakin jerked the blaster pistols from their locker mounts and hurled them across the transfer deck into the grasps of 10 waiting Jedi. From the other side of the sealed hatch came muffled shouts and metallic thuds as the rest of the boarding party tried to break into the transfer deck. Then Tisar half-turned, whipping his thick reptilian tail into the ankles of Duman Yacht and his defender, and sweeping both Yuuzhan Vong off their feet. He leveled his blaster at the commander's head.
"Call off your scarheads," the Barabel rasped.
Duman Yacht's eyes flared with anger, and his guard, now lying behind Tisar, reached for his kufi. Anakin started to shout a warning, but Jason had already felt his alarm and relayed it through the battle meld. The Barabel pivoted and brought his heel down, a long spike folding out to pin the warrior's hand to the durasteel floor. The tumult on the other side of the hatch suddenly fell silent, and Anakin guessed the situation on the transfer deck had been relayed to the officers of the Exquisite Death. He leveled his blaster pistol at Duman Yacht's wounded protector and began to count. The war droids would need at least a 30-second distraction to slip out of the Lady Luck's disposal lock with the equipment pod and attach to the enemy shuttle. Anakin would have liked to give them a safety margin of twice that, but 60 seconds seemed like an eternity. Tisar took his time pulling his heel spike out of the guard's hand, then pressed his blaster to Dumignacht's face.
"Tell your warriors to drop their weapons,"
the Barabel rasped. Dumignacht surprised Anakin and everyone else by responding with an admiring smirk.
"Impressive. The reputation of the Jedi is well deserved."
Tisar's only response was a hiss. If not for the battle melt, Anakin would have thought the Barabel confused, but he sensed through Jason that Tisar was only stalling for time. 2 seconds later, Tisar snarled,
"This one wants surrender, not compliments."
"Then you are to be disappointed," Duman replied. "You must know that before allowing 17 Jedi to escape, I'll destroy this ship and everyone aboard it, myself included."
"Wait a second,"
Lando objected. He stepped forward, and Anakin's count reached 8.
"There's no call for silence. If you know anything about the Yuuzhan Vong, then you know we have no fear of death."
Duman looked back to Tisar.
"You have 5 breaths."
Finally, something they had not planned for. Desperate to thwart the deadline, Anakin stepped over and kicked the Villips off the commander's shoulder, crushed them beneath his foot.
"That will not save you," the commander said. "I have a personal Villip on the bridge of my ship, relaying every word I say."
He looked back to Tisar.
3 breaths.
Though Anakin's count had barely passed 10 seconds, he knew better than to challenge the commander's word. Having proclaimed his willingness to die, it was now a matter of honor to follow through. He watched Dumignacht's chest rise and fall 2 more times. Lando must have been watching as well. After the 2nd breath, he snorted loudly,
"Nobody's going to slag my ship."
He started across the transfer deck to the inner hatch. "Not when there's no reason for it." Alima Rar blocked his way and pointed her blaster at his face, then pulled the trigger as he moved to step past. There was a loud pop of a tripping safety breaker, then she cried out and dropped the smoking pistol. Lando kicked the weapon aside.
"You see? I've thought of everything."
He snatched Raynar's blaster out of his hand, popped a retaining clip, reversed the power pack, adjusted the discharge setting, and dropped Tisar with a stun bolt.
"Reversed power packs. Standard safety precaution, at least when you're turning traitor on a company of Jedi."
Anakin and several others popped their retaining clips, but even Jedi were not that quick. Dumignacht's protector caught Anakin in a leg scissors and whipped him to the floor, and Anakin found himself struggling to continue his count beneath a rain of blows. The rest of the Yuuzhan Vong were also attacking, forgoing their kufis to lash out at the blasters in the hands of their foes. Even Dumignacht joined the fray, leaping up to hurl Tahiri into an escape pod hatch. Blaster and power pack flew in 2 directions, and she wisely let herself slump to the deck. The commander turned to Lando, pointed to the inner hatch.
"Open it."
Lando stepped forward, his hand reaching for the override. By Anakin's count, they were at 25 seconds. The 2 war droids would be searching the bottom of the shuttle for a place to anchor. Jason sensed Anakin's worry, and Yulaha stepped forward to block the path, a long-fingered Bith hand flicking forward as she opened herself to the Force. Jason screamed first. Anakin experienced an instant of hot pain and thought his brother had been wounded. But then he heard Yulaha's whistle, and saw the Bith stumbling forward, the handle of a kufi protruding from her back. Shock shot through the strike team like a stun bolt. No one had seen the attack coming, and the sudden pain dazed them badly. Anakin took 2 hard blows and felt the others reeling too, and then bodies began to fall. Across the deck, Yulaha lay face down, too pained to scream, her fingernails raking the durasteel floor. Lando stood above her, Dark Eyes dazed with horror, but too much the gambler to show anything more. His knee flexed, as though he might kneel down to pull out the kufi. Then he caught himself and stepped over the anguished Jedi and opened the inner hatch. Another fist crashed down on Anakin, this time summoning misty shadows of unconsciousness. He forgot his count, but it had to be 30, or as close as they were going to get. The floor began to reverberate with heavy footfalls, the rest of the boarding party rushing onto the transfer deck. Anakin reached out with the Force and hurled a discarded blaster pistol into his attacker's head, and was rewarded with another blow. Then the tip of a kufi touched his throat. "Done, Jedi," the warrior hissed. "Understand." Anakin did not even dare to nod. Duman Yacht barked an order. A pair of Yuuzhan Vong lifted Yulaha off the floor and passed her into the airlock, the kufi still protruding from her back. A familiar hollowness came to Anakin then, the same hollowness he had felt on Cernpadal, when he had been forced to raise the Falcon's nose and leave Chewie behind, and a cold fear rose inside him. They had barely made contact, and he had already gotten someone injured. Maybe this mission was too much for them. Maybe everyone was going to get killed, just like Chewbacca. Loey, Tahiri, even Jason and Jaina. Maybe it would be his fault. Jason reached out to him, gently laving him with the emotions of the others. There was fear, anger, guilt. Anakin could not tell who was feeling what, except for Alima Rar. Alima seemed to be relieved. No one had actually died yet, and she had made it this far without breaking down in terror. Things were going pretty well, it seemed to her. Dumignac's voice sounded from somewhere beyond Anakin's feet. "I must admit, Fitzgibbon Lane, that I now understand why you destroyed their lightsabers. Had they gotten to those, well, let us say I am happy they were disintegrated." A pair of Yuuzhan Vong jerked Anakin to his feet, and he saw the commander standing with Lando as the boarding party lined the Jedi up for transfer. Anakin fixed his stare on Lando, wondering if there was not some way for the silky-tongued gambler to keep Yulaha aboard the Lady Luck. Lando caught Anakin staring at him and allowed his gaze to linger a moment, then turned back to Duman Yacht. "It's all in the planning, but next time I want some warning. If we catch them during a sleep cycle—" "You will have your villip," the Yuuzhan Vong interrupted. "That is all I can promise." Anakin's guards pushed him into the airlock. He stumbled on the threshold, but kept his gaze turned over his shoulder. He knew there was no safe way for Lando to retrieve Yulaha, but Lando Calrissian had a way of doing the impossible. Lando had spent his youth outwitting Imperial agents and swindling the deadliest criminals in the galaxy, and he had been rescuing the Solo children and their parents for longer than Anakin had been alive. Surely, Lando Calrissian could outwit one ambitious Yuuzhan Vong. Lando met Anakin's gaze again. A haunted and fearful look came to his eyes. Then Duman Yacht said something that required a laugh, and Lando had to turn his back.